You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to The Game Plan podcast on the Raiders podcasting network. I'm your host, JT. As today I come to you live from the Grove, outside of London, as the Silver and Black are in preparation to take on the Chicago Bears, its regular season game, week 5, Sunday, October 6th. At Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on the north end of London. The Raiders come in with a 2-2 record after their recent victory on the road against Indianapolis this past Sunday by a score of 31-24, and the Bears come in with a 3-1 record so far this season. It's been an unbelievable week so far. The Raiders travel 5-star as they come to Watford, where the hotel is located, going immediately from Indianapolis to come to England in preparation for this game. John Gruden talked about it. He'll be a guest on our Game Plan podcast coming up, along with Mad Max, Max Crosby, the defensive lineman, who will also join us. And I think it was smart for the Raiders to get here in advance and get their body clock acclimated to not only the time change, the weather, and everything in regards to the schedule here, which is going to be big as they get ready to play in a brand new football stadium, which I went to earlier in the week to see Bayern Munich take on Tottenham in a Champions League game, and it was arguably the greatest stadium I've ever seen in my life, and I've been to all the big ones, especially in the States. It's that good. Raider Nation, when you watch this game and you see the stadium and the sightlines, I think it's going to pop on TV, and it's a great opportunity for the Raiders, even though this is a home game on the road, to set themselves up to go into the bye week with a 3-2 record and to win a game for the first time as an NFL team in a soccer stadium that is brand new, that has a capacity over 62,000. As I've said before, after week 4, I start getting into the stats, because I think you start learning about the stats of a team after the first quarter of the season. And the Raiders come into this game against a Chicago Bear defense, which is as good as any defense the Raiders will play this year. They're ranked 5th overall. They are 3rd in the NFL with rush defense. They're only giving up a little more than 61 yards a game, 12th in pass defense, 3rd and 3rd down differential. And the stat that I look at, and you'll hear me talk about on every podcast, I think the most important defensive stat that matters in all of football is points per game. They are ranked 2nd. 2nd overall, they only give up 11.3 points a game. Khalil Mack has been the big story, not only over here in London, but obviously back in the States. Everybody's talking about this as his game, a payback game, for the fact that he was traded for first-round picks and other consideration from the Raiders a couple of years ago. Derek Carr and Khalil Mack are great friends, and they will go toe-to-toe on Sunday. For the Raiders, their offense ranks 22nd overall in the NFL, but their rush offense is ranked 9th at 125.8 yards a game. That is impressive. The Raiders have been able to run the ball with Josh Jacobs. We'll talk about that throughout the podcast. Also, defensively, the Raiders are improved. 16th in rush defense, giving up a little over 104 yards a game. And when you take a look at the turnover ratio in this game, the Raiders have to be careful. They're ranked 18th with a minus 1 on the turnover ratio, and the Bears are plus 6. That's tied for 1st overall in the NFL. The Raiders have momentum, and we'll get into that with head coach John Gruden coming up here momentarily. And it was important, I believe, with this brutal schedule to come into this game with momentum. And they were able to do that by putting away the Indianapolis Colts in a game where new addition Trevor Davis came in at wide receiver with a 60-yard rushing touchdown in that game. And we just saw an offensive line that was very physical, that was challenged in that game and made plays. But I was more impressed with the defense. The defense's ability to get off the field on 3rd down, and guys like Max Crosby, who's going to join us, batting down balls, the play of Carl Joseph, Eric Harris with the game-sealing interception in the 4th quarter, a 30-yard interception return, a pick 6 to ice that game. And again, I was in that locker room immediately following the game, and you could tell the sense of relief, the emotion to get to 2-2, but more so have momentum going on that long flight to London. So the Raiders are here. They're ready to go. It's been a great week of preparation. We'll talk more as we get into the broadcast on Sunday. You'll be able to keep it to Raiders.com to find out who's available to play in the game, who will not play in this game, right up to kickoff, where I'll be on the sidelines sitting in for Chris Townsend as he's back in the States because of the A's making the postseason, the one-game wild card. I'll be there with Brent Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy, and you can check out all the information the remaining days before this game at Raiders.com. We begin with the head coach of the Silver and Black, John Gruden, who's kind enough to join us. Coach, really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for having me on, JT.
Great to see you again. The emotional win in Indy, it was really emotional for you, and in the locker room after that, several other players were highly emotional with that victory.
Yeah, we got a good road victory against a good football team, a playoff team, and obviously we've been through a lot. We had a number of guys hurt, guys coming in off, you know, very little practice time, like Trevor, our flanker, comes in there, has a 70-yard touchdown. Burfict gets thrown out of the game. We lose our right guard. We lose our right tackle. We keep fighting, and you find a way to win. It was an impressive outcome for us. We needed that.
The key to your staff, too, getting everyone ready, next man up philosophy, was proven in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. And Tom Cable, our offensive line coach, has done a great job. Obviously, Lippincott, our linebacker coach, has had to shuffle his guys around. And Edgar Bennett, our receiving coach, has done an outstanding job. We've had four different starting Zs. Last time I was here, I think Tim Brown never missed a snap. So we've been challenged at that position, and we'll be challenged again this week by the Bears.
You covered the travel on Wednesday at the press conference, the international press conference, how it changed from the last trip last year. So overall, the travel with the health of the team, with Burfict being out, there's really been a lot of effort around getting this team ready emotionally with their time clock. What's that been like?
Yes, it's been a learning experience for me. Last year was my first time playing a home game in London, and my body didn't respond well at all. So I thought if I didn't respond very well, maybe some of these guys didn't respond either. So I'm coming over here early. The Raiders have been unbelievable, giving us the best hotel, the best food that we could ever ask for. And our players will be rested, ready to go, but we will have to overcome several key injuries.
We'll touch on Burfict, getting that behind you in the press conference. Were you proud of your other team leaders to step up the way they showed their support for him until he comes back via what happens with the appeal?
Yeah, I think when you lose a team captain, a guy that was almost unanimously selected, you're losing more than just a good player. And I know that there are issues with player safety, and his playing style is well documented, but I see a lot of hits throughout football that didn't get ejections like Vontaze Burfict got, and it upsets me big time.
That's the point I wanted to make. I thought overall, the way he plays, his past, coming in, bringing him in, the fact that he had great OTAs, he was outstanding as a leader in Napa, and so far this year, that should play a role looking at what happens in the future, the way he came over and became a captain for the Raiders quickly.
Yeah, he played 194 snaps and had one penalty, and the one penalty that he had results in a 12-game suspension. I didn't see that. I saw big hits throughout the league, head-to-head contact. It didn't get a one-game suspension. And I know they're basing it on his past. I'm not going to get into my feelings and all that stuff, but I'm upset about it, and I'll continue to be upset about it when asked.
Pass protection in your career as a coach, taking a look at film especially, how difficult has it been? Because everyone was talking about Mac. You touched yesterday on their interior pass rush and how they stopped the run.
Yeah, no doubt. They stop the run. They stop everything. You know, they stop Minnesota cold. They stop Green Bay cold. They stopped a lot of great offenses cold. And they do it with the great Khalil Mack, certainly, but they have an inside trio of defenders that make it hard to run. Floyd is a top 10 pick on the other side. No one even talks about him like he's alive. He's a problem. And Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, outstanding linebackers, Pro Bowl left corner and Fuller, and Eddie Jackson has 8 interceptions from the free safety position. So they're loaded at all three levels. We're going to have to play a great game, and it'll be fun.
It's great that you have a player like Rodney Hudson. The importance of him understanding what's in front of him with Derek and that communication. Can you talk about his leadership?
Oh, it's big time. Not only his leadership, his playmaking. He can block. He can pass protect. He can run block. He's a great athlete. He's as tough as they come. We think the strength of our team is the offensive line. When Gabe Jackson returns after the bye, We think we have the makings of the best line in football. And Josh Jacobs is going to have a great opportunity to see what he can get done against the top run defense, and it's going to be a collective effort.
You told me multiple times last year that Colton Miller was a necessity. You just didn't have enough bodies. And he played hurt. He played hurt last year in the game in London. So the growth of him, his health, and the ability to sit out on an island and not need help and be able to pass, protect, and run block.
Oh, that's big. And, you know, remember, he was an underclassman at UCLA, and he did have the early season injury. But when we got here, we did not have one healthy tackle on our team. Not one. So we drafted one in the first round. We drafted one in the third round, and we got Trent Brown in the offseason. Now we feel like we've got three tackles, and David Sharp now make it four that can functionally go out there and get after people. And we got to prove it on this Sunday for sure.
Let's stay with Trent Brown, Coach, for a second, because the film against the Chargers in the playoffs last year was as good as a performance as anyone's ever played in that position. It was that good. Then his Super Bowl performance, he's up to this challenge. Everyone who's talking about the defense and Mac, he was brought in and paid handsomely to play big in games like this.
He was. And, you know, you watch him play against the Chargers, Bosa and Ingram, two of the best. Then you watch him in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, another rival of ours. And you know, he handles himself extremely well. He can play right or left tackle. And we're really happy with him. Hopefully he can get healthy. He's had ankle and knee and finger problems, and the bye is coming at a good time for us.
Josh Jacobs getting up to speed with your pass protection and what his role is. How excited were you to see him close? They're calling him the closer now for what he did in Indianapolis, but I know how important it is for him to be able to pick up this blitz package from Chicago.
Well, it's a work in progress. You know, he wasn't the every down, all down, all purpose back at Alabama. He has never really gone wire to wire ever. So he's learning about the protections. He had a great pickup against Indianapolis, and he had a couple big catches as well. I think he's going to be one of the best in football. It's just a matter of time.
Chase Daniel, what do you see with him? And especially in your situation where you've had to do this in the past, thinking you're getting a starter, and then quickly you get the backup.
He's a good player. We've got plenty of tape on Daniel. He got to play last year. He played last week, obviously. And he's been around the league a long time, been well-coached and well-versed in this system. He's been with Nagy for a while. So I don't expect a big drop-off. Perhaps you won't see him running like Trubisky, but we got to keep an eye on Cohen 29 and Robinson. And obviously, we got to do a great job on defense to have a chance.
I thought the play of Carl Joseph, Eric Harris with the pick was something, but I love the way they came up in run support and how physical they were in the game.
Yeah, they made some one-on-one tackles against Mack, a really good back of the Colts. And with Cohen, like I say, number 29, remember that name, Raider fans. He's a problem. He's a very, very, very good receiver. They put him in a lot of different positions, and our safeties are going to have to, you know, find him and deal with him.
Your quarterback's in a big spot here. Kirk Cousins into Jacoby Brissett, now the Bears. I mean, for Derek, this is a great opportunity on an international stage to step up and have a really big performance, which is what is expected of him.
Yes, it is, and hopefully Tyrell Williams is able to play. He's hurt. We're obviously missing J.J. Nelson. Dwayne Harris has been out, so we're having to move some guys around. But guys around Derek have to step up as well. It's going to take a collective effort to deal with the Bears.
I know the British fans appreciated you embracing the London trip in the stadium. I was there for the soccer game. It's like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, you look at the great stadiums of the world. This is right there before the Raiders get to Vegas. The place is almost perfect. I can't imagine what it's going to look like with the sightlines and knowing that so many Raider fans are traveling.
Yeah, we can't wait. I've heard nothing but the same things you just said. And it's a great opportunity for everybody to experience something that the NFL has given us the right to do, and we're looking forward to it.
Last one, your message to the Raider Nation.
We love you. We love you. We got a lot of young guys that are getting better. The development of this team is something we should all be excited about, and we really appreciate their support.
Thanks to head coach John Gruden for coming in here and being our guest on the Game Plan podcast. Now we move on to my conversation with Max Crosby, who had what I thought was a really big game, and he was the highest graded player on defense for the Silver and Black from Pro Football Focus. Mad Max came into that game and did it all. The forced fumble, the four quarterback pressures, batted down two balls, and we are thrilled to welcome him to the game plan. Max, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to start with your last game. You had a big game statistically, four quarterback pressures, two passes deflected, the forced fumble. What do you think of the media coverage for you being a young NFL player? How'd you handle that?
I thought it was cool. You know, Going to a smaller school is a little bit different. We didn't have, you know, full crowds and stuff like that, and you know, seeing all your videos and stuff online, it's a cool feeling. But you know, I just got to keep improving.
Wanted to talk about how you stay grounded after a game like that when there is media coverage like that. I'm sure the family's blowing up your phone. You're on yeah. Sports Center and all that. How'd you handle the week?
Honestly, you know, it was just another game. You know, I believe I can play at a really high level. So, you know, it was finally good to see everything come together. But I just got to keep stacking up the weeks.
Now, I'm one of the guys, I always yell, if you can't get to the quarterback on a specific play, knock it down. I'm always screaming that. Was that something that you've been doing since high school and college? Because at home, at times you get home to the quarterback, but if you're not going to, talk about how that worked out with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's just a part of my game that I just have been establishing. You know, it started in college. And honestly, it's more of an instinct, knowing when to time it and not jump. And you know, for a pump fake, it's more about just being in the right place and matching hands with the quarterback.
Kevin Harlan, who was on the broadcast, I'm sure you heard, he said he could be like a basketball player. He was batting him down, and he said he could play for the Pacers or the Warriors. So that is an instinct there, but it happens a lot, because a lot of times if you're being doubled off the edge, if you're getting chipped, that's the best way to get out of a play and knock it down, huh?
Definitely.
Let's move on to the media focus here in London this week. Clearly everybody's talking about Mac and a payback game for him. He plays the same position.
Yeah.
Do you guys in your meeting room feel, not so much disrespected, but that's the talk of this game when you guys are coming off a great game?
Honestly, I really haven't looked, you know, been on TV and been watching a bunch of stuff. So, you know, for us, we're focused on beating the Chicago Bears. So we're just going to show up, do everything we can, you know, to try to get a W.
Walk us through the preseason with the hand injury. I remember when it happened, being there when you came off the sideline there, and then Hard Knocks cameras are right on top of you, and then it's a story. How did you handle the injury, and how'd you work through it?
It was tough. It was the first bone I've ever broken, so, you know, it was unfortunate, but I just did everything I possibly can and could have done to get back as soon as possible, and I feel like they did a great job with me, and I have no problems with it now, so I'm just, you know, being smarter with with the way I'm trying to knock balls out and stuff like that, and being more under control. So,
are you a cardio guy? How do you stay in such good shape? Are you a runner, or are you guys always been fit? How do you stay in shape?
Honestly, I feel like the whole motor thing. Like everyone talks about my motor and stuff like that. I feel like that's more just heart more than anything. You know, you can be in as good a shape as you want, but at the end of the day, you got to make it up in your mind. Like, okay, I got a 10 play drive right now, and I know I'm not coming off the field. Either gonna, you know, slow down mentally and be like, okay, I can take this play off, or you just go. I just try to empty my gas tank every time. So I feel like that definitely helps with being in shape.
I thought you handled the post game after the victory well. You had a great game. You got a high grade from Pro Football Focus. But then at the locker, people are asking you about your captain, Vontaze Burfict, the hit, and now the reaction this week. The void of his leadership and how you rally around him.
Yeah. No, it's a big loss for us. Obviously, we all have, you know, our strong opinions about it, but, you know, it's out of our control. So, you know, that sucks for Vontaze and obviously for our defense and the team as a whole, but, you know, we have to keep playing. So it's going to be tough, but I think we have all the right guys to step up, and we'll be just fine.
One of the tweets I saw was from Brenson Buckner, your coach, who said, "We win, nothing more, nothing less, on to the next one."
Yeah.
Talk about that culture of, you know, having coaches like this around you with so much experience.
Yeah, you know, Coach Buck's a great coach. And, you know, when it comes to football, you know, it's about being the most consistent. You know, you can be good one week, and then the next week, if you don't play well, that's all they're going to talk about. So being consistent is everything. And that's what I try to do personally, and that's, as you know, as a D-line, that's what we've been trying to do.
So the master of funk, Bootsy Collins, starts tweeting at you.
Yeah.
This is great, because I'm obviously older than you, and I remember him playing back in the day and how iconic he was. But I've been on Twitter since the beginning, and I don't remember him being that passionate about the Raider Nation. Do you feel like he picked you out and you're his guy?
I guess so. Honestly, it's crazy. I saw him tweet at me the first time, and I'm like, I just started laughing. I didn't even know what to think. But he tweets me all the time now. It's pretty cool.
For you and your personal life on social media, talk about your dogs. I see
yeah.
you know, you got intimate about the tattoos and your opinion about that. But tell us about your personal life, your family, and why you go to social media and what you get out of it.
You know, I use social media mostly to just talk to my fans and talk to, you know, Raider fans all over the world and just people I couldn't normally, you know, connect with. So, you know, I just try to give them a little insight about how, you know, how I do things and what I do. And, you know, for me, honestly, I'm just a super, you know, I'm a happy person who just likes to, you know, exude energy at every, you know, at everything I'm in. So whether it's on the field or in the weight room, anywhere I'm at, I'm always just trying to be the most energetic guy and keeping the, you know, the mood light.
As a kid, who was your biggest role model on the field and then off the field?
I would probably have to say my brother. I have an older brother, and he played in college as well. So he was the reason why I started, you know, playing football. I saw him playing, and I immediately wanted to play. So, you know, I haven't looked back since, and he definitely was the person I looked up to.
I love asking this question when we talk to former players. As a kid, did you think you had a shot to play high school? Before you even talk about Eastern Michigan, what was the moment as a middle schooler or 8, 9 years old where you said, this is my sport, I can excel at it?
Yeah, you know, growing up I played football, football and basketball mainly. So for me, honestly, I never knew where it would take me, but I just knew it was second nature to me. I love playing football. I've literally been obsessed since I was this big. So, honestly, I try not to think in the future too much. I just try to stay in the present, you know, live and learn from, you know, different experiences. And, you know, it's taken me this far. So,
tell us about Eastern Michigan. How did that come about, the recruiting process? How did they find you?
Yeah, so Eastern was my only offer. They actually recruited my brother before he went off to SMU. And they were at a school called Drake, FCS mm-hmm. school. And then they went to my school. And my brother, they had that. It's kind of funny because the D coordinator at the time had that connection with my brother because they were talking a lot through recruiting. And they came up to watch me during my spring and my junior year. So my brother was just selling me to the DC and all that. And he's like, you got to get Max to a camp, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to the camp and they offered me. So, you know, that was the only school that wanted me as a DN too, which was kind of funny.
What was the game at Eastern Michigan that put you on the map?
I would say Central Michigan, my sophomore year. I had, like, the first play of the game, had a little strip sack and took it to the house. That was, like, my first, like, big, big game.
So Coach Gruden loves Mad Max because it's an easy one, but it seems like it's the perfect fit. And
yeah.
Talk about having a nickname coming in, because the best part about being around this organization are the nicknames.
Yeah.
Over the history of this
yeah.
organization, the Mad Stork with Ted Hendricks. And if
yeah.
you look back to the twos, John Matuszak, the Snake and Kenny Stabler.
Yeah.
Must be fun now to have a nickname and for fans to recognize you so easily.
Yeah, it's super cool. You know, I never really had, like I said, at Eastern, it wasn't like a huge broadcasting, big, you know, Clemson or anything like that. So for me, coming to the NFL and immediately getting a nickname and, you know, having people recognize me around the town and stuff like that, it's been really cool. But I feel like everything happens for a reason. I've worked super hard my whole life for this, and you know, it's cool to finally start seeing, you know, stuff like that happen.
Last one, your message to the Raider Nation around the world.
We got to be Chicago, so show up, be loud. We're gonna do some great things.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
That'll do it for this week's edition of the Game Plan Podcast. As the Silver and Black get set to take on the Chicago Bears on Sunday, then the bye week before the Raiders pick up their schedule on the road against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. We'll get you ready for that game in a little over a week. From London, I'm JT the Brick. Thanks for joining us on the Game Plan.
Thank you for listening to the Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.